Psalm 138, verse 2 says this, I bow down toward the holy temple, and I give thanks to your name for your steadfast love and your faithfulness. Listen to this part. For you have exalted above all things your name and your word. Do you get that? He's exalted above all things his name and his word. I'm amazed sometimes at television late at night. But those of you that know me know that, you know, I'm fast approaching 60 and I got ADD. So that's my excuse for everything, you know. So I say, you know, sometimes when Margie goes to bed and Philip is in bed, it's quiet time for me. A lot of you are morning people. I am not, okay? I'm like a late night person. And so, you know, sometimes when you're watching TV late at night, those infomercials kind of come on. Man, I used to buy everything from Ab Builders to Deal a Meal to all those kind of crazy things. But one of the things that they always show is the starving people over in like Africa or in the Middle East or something. They always show these kids, and it's like, you know, this tearful cry, you could make a difference. And there's like a fly on the, you know what I'm talking about? You know the ones I'm talking about? It's like if you would just put the camera down and feed the kid, you know, that make a difference. But they're trying to pull on our heartstrings. And we see that there is around the world really malnourishment, right? But I want to tell you that I think we are scripturally malnourished. That we don't have a hunger for his word, and because of that, the filter that we have that is different than the world, we've lost that filter. We have a peace that passes understanding, but yet in times of any kind of thing that comes on, we panic just like the rest of the world, and that is not our filter. If you develop a hunger for the Word of God and you dive into the Word of God, you will find an answer for everything. Everything. So we're going to dive into His Word today. You know, we're still in the Psalms, but I'm going to deviate from that today. Psalm 119, we were going to spend 4 weeks on it because it is the longest book in the Bible. It has 176 verses. It's an acrostic. There are 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet. And in the Hebrew, the first eight, everything is in eight. The first eight verses all start with A. The next eight verses all start with B, Aleph, Bet. You know, I don't even remember my Hebrew thing. There's Delta, there's Gamma, there's, you know, I'm just making up stuff now. But there's, each one starts with one of the letters of the 22 letters of the alphabet. Okay? So it's this acrostic, but each one talks primarily about the Word of God. It calls it a testimony. It calls it commandments. It calls it His law, His precepts. It calls it His Word. And if we dive into Psalm 119, which we're going to start next week, we're going to find out that God's Word is authoritative. When God speaks, remember when we open our Bible, God speaks. When God speaks, He doesn't mumble. Okay, God did not do, during this coronavirus, He didn't do a one-hand clap, you know. I didn't see this coming. God's Word has authority. He doesn't mumble. What He says He will do, He will do. The Bible's not a book of like helpful hints for happy living, where as much as we want that, but it's not. It speaks with authority. It says law, statutes, His commandments, His precepts, His word. The sum effect of all of those terms is that God speaks with authority. So when God speaks, we can take what He says, right? These are not Reader's Digest hints, you know. They're not suggestions for our success. This is God's word to His people. It's not just authoritative, but it's reliable. You can trust God's word. All of it is faithful, it's righteous, it's true. God's word doesn't change. Scripture's reliable. Why? Because men wrote it? No, because it came straight from God, from the Holy Spirit to men. God understands our needs. He's graciously revealed how we are supposed to live. And then the Bible is not just authoritative, it's not just reliable, but it is powerful. God's word is powerful. Down through the centuries, people have had life-transforming effects in their lives from the very word of God. The word of God gives us stability in times of uncertainty and unrest. This is a major theme of Psalm 119. And my plan was to dive into it today, but you know that there's a lot of unrest around the world today. COVID-19 is spreading. The stock market's been dropping. People are panicking. Professional sporting events have been canceled. Conferences, concerts are being postponed. Schools are closing down. There's travel bans coming up all over the world. Grocery stores are out of toilet paper. But what do we do? What are we supposed to do? Our one side says, oh, I'm not going to worry about it because I'm covered by God. Well, that's foolish too, because the Bible says, even though we're not supposed to fear, we're supposed to be prepared. Then there are other people that they buy extra hand sanitizer and toilet paper, and then they hide inside and they prepare for the end of the world. How many of you did that for Y2K? Remember? It was coming and you stockpiled everything because it was the end of the world as we know it. And so we have these two extremes. And I don't pretend to be an expert on any of this, but I want to speak from a faith perspective. I found in times of crisis and panic to take a breath and to calm down and don't try to project things into the future. What if? What happens if this? What happens if this? What happens if this? And we become so stagnant and stuck that we can't move and we can't function. It's always best to make wise decisions based on what we know. The problem is, when you turn on the TV or you listen to the radio, you hear all kinds of people giving you what the truth is. Oh, it's the worst thing that ever happened. And then you hear some people, well, it's not as bad as the flu. People are still dying of the flu, but we don't even mention them anymore because 66 people in Georgia now have this disease, this virus. 66 people as to the hundreds and hundreds of people that have the flu. Oh, if you're over 60, and I'm turning 60 in 3 days, I'm going to be in that high range in 3 days. What am I going to do? You know, if you're over 60, you're going to get it, and you're in all kinds of trouble. Little kids, you may get it. You may have already had it. All you're going to do is pass it on to the old people. So what do we do? As Christ followers, our filter is different than the world. It's different than the world. We have a filter where our decisions are made differently. Why? Because we're not of this world. God's word tells us not to be conformed to the world, not to listen and put all of our faith and trust in the world, because the world will let you down. Those of you that are counting on your 401ks and everything to help you in retirement, what's happened to the stock market over the last couple days? Pew. You know, so don't put your faith in money. May not be there. Don't put your faith in people, because we're not even supposed to be around people. You know? Yet God made us for community. That's the weirdest thing about church. You know, where the governor came out today and says, hey, stay home and watch it online. We don't have online. I mean, you can listen to it after today, but we don't have online. Stay home. But what is it about the church? I mean, you can open up the Bible and do your own sermon. You can, with your family, doing your own prayer time. The idea of the church is the body of Christ coming together. So what do we do? Do we come together and ignore all this? No. We live by faith and not by fear. It's okay to be prepared, but do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. When Jesus was talking to his disciples in John 14, he says this, do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Do not let your hearts be troubled. There are so many scriptures that say, do not be afraid. Do not be upset. Do not be. Do not be. Do not be. In John 14 and verse 27, he goes on to say, Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives, so do not let your heart be troubled, and do not be afraid. You turn on the news, what happens? Everybody is afraid. Everybody is scared. Everybody is stockpiling. People are breaking out in fights in large groups in like Walmart, where you're not even supposed to congregate, but they're in huge groups fighting over toilet paper, fighting over hand sanitizer. We were going to cook out just some hot dogs and hamburgers yesterday. Margie goes to the store, and there is absolutely no meat in the thing. People are stockpiling meat, I guess. I don't know. I love the way John 14 is translated in the New Living Translation. It says this, I am leaving you with a gift. Listen to this. It's peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift that the world cannot give, so don't be troubled or afraid. Now, he's not exactly addressing the coronavirus, but his words still are true. Do not be afraid. The peace that goes beyond human understanding. See, God, let me tell you this. God is faithful and God is in control. You may think this virus is in control. It is not. God is faithful. God is in control. Our God is good and our God has a plan. Listen again. Our God is good and our God has a plan. He won't leave us. His word says he won't leave us, nor will he ever forsake us, and that he is working in all things for good. Paul says this, God does not give us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of what? Of power and love and self-discipline or a sound mind. We are God's people, so we are not panicking. We have peace. We are not fearful because we have faith. Paul says in Corinthians, he says, for we live by faith and not by sight. Not by the things that we see. We live in faith. This is the time, guys, where people will skip church. They're going to play it safe. And that's okay. Let me tell you that if you don't feel well and you're at home and you miss church for a couple weeks, you are not going to hell. Okay? It's okay. But do it out of not fear. Well, I'm not coming because, you know, someone may be spreading the virus. Don't be fearful. This is when the church can really be the church. This is when we can make a difference in the community. I would encourage you to display your faith and your worship, not just once a week, not on Sunday mornings when we get together, not on Wednesday nights when we get together for Bible study and fellowship with food, but daily. Join as your family. Those of you that actually still have to go into work and pray for your coworkers. Those of you that are working at home, pray for your coworkers from home. Pray with your family. Check on your neighbor. See how your neighbor's doing. Some of us don't even know our neighbors anymore. Find out how your neighbor's feeling. Is there anything I can get for you? What can I do? Our church has always been biased towards being open. Very rarely have we ever shut down the church. One time because of ice and snow, and the other time because it was raining so hard, there was a flood and water before we got some rocks down there. We couldn't even get in the parking lot. In fact, I was on the way to church that day before Sandra called me, and I got pulled over, and it was a boat. And I turned around, and the Coast Guard actually gave me a ticket for not having a life preserver in my car. That's how bad the rain was that day. But we have a bias for being open. We are going to be a place of refuge. We are going to meet. Are we going to meet every day or are we going to close down? We don't know. We don't know what the future holds, but we do know who holds the future. As for meeting, I'd love to see our church as a place of spiritual refuge for people that are in need. We've always had that bias of being open. We've always wanted to have church. We've always wanted to meet. You are smart people. You've been created in God's image. And as we study his word and he transforms our minds to be more like his, you're smart. So if you don't feel well, stay home. but don't stop worshiping God. During the early church, they faced all kinds of extreme persecution, even to the point of losing their life. And this is what it says in Acts. Every day, they continued to meet in the temple courts. They still, under threats of persecution, still met at the church. They broke bread in their homes. They still got together with people in their homes. If a large group, and we're not that large of a church, but in a large group, if you don't feel comfortable, have church at home. Invite some people over. Open up God's word and let it speak. They praised God and enjoyed the favor of all people, and the Lord added to their number daily. Every day they continued to meet because they were people of hope. They were people of assurance because they knew God. And how many of us know people that are looking for hope right now? That are worried, they're concerned. Jesus tells us that we are the salt and the light of the world. He says this in Matthew, "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden, neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. So in the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." During this time, people are afraid. They're unsettled. They're anxious. They're looking for hope. Well, here's what I would suggest you do. If you have some elderly neighbors, run errands for them. Hey, is there anything I can get? You need, I'll see if they got it. I'll get food. We still have some food in the pantry back there. If you need it, we'll get it to you. If you need something, we'll do it. You need your grass cut? We'll cut. We'll do. How can we be a light to people that are hopeless? We look for ways as the light of the world and the salt of the earth to advance the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is important right now that we become a source of hope. Let me tell you, the virus is contagious. We know that, right? I'm praying that our church would become spiritually contagious. We need to spread hope. We need to spread love. We need to be spreading life in Christ. And I'm believing that the love and the hope of Jesus is going to spread faster than any virus. 66 people got in Georgia. How about 66 new people getting Jesus Christ in their life today? How about from that 66, we go to 600 and, oh, well, I don't want to go 666, but it just, we keep multiplying, right? We keep multiplying. That's how a life is made different. That's how we offer hope. Paul says in Philippians, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything. Listen, in everything. During Zika virus, during coronavirus, during MERS, SARS, during all of these things, in everything, in prayer and petition, make your requests known to God. And the peace, there's our filter that the world doesn't have, and the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. We are different. We're not of this world. Our minds are not conformed to this world, but we are transformed. We live by faith, not by fear. We shine our light. We don't hide it. In 2 Corinthians, Paul says this, but we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that all the surpassing power is from God and what? Not from us. We are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. We're persecuted, but not abandoned. We are struck down, but we are not destroyed. I've seen some people that say, you know, I'm going to name this virus, and this virus has no, you know, no control over me, or you know what? You still could get sick. But if you have God, if you have Jesus, if you have the peace that passes understanding, none of that matters. None of that matters. Do the things you know to do. Wash your hands. Do whatever you're supposed to do. Stay clean. But don't panic. God has given us a wonderful opportunity, and I see this as an opportunity for us to be the church of Christ. And what does that look like? I don't know. But I'm praying that we will rise up and become the church of God. Let's pray. Oh, most gracious Heavenly Father, we are faced with all kind of things in the news and just craziness out there. We see people that are fighting over just material things, thinking that this is going to save them. But Father, help us to be the church and to realize that there is no salvation apart from you. That if it's the coronavirus or if it's just our apathy, whatever, Father, we just ask that your Holy Spirit would just move in a mighty way. That there would be healing, not just physically, Father, but spiritually in the lives of our nation. That we would fall on our face and as we cry out, Father, for a cure for this virus, Father, we also are praying for a cure for the sickness of sin that invades our nation and the people that continue to live in darkness. Oh, Father, we've become selfish and self-centered, and we're worried about self-preservation when we should be concerned about others. So, Father, I pray that you would use us as your church here in this place, and that 3 Point would be a place of refuge. We would be salt and light, and we would use this as an opportunity to bring people to you. And, Father, we pray all these things in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.